Good morning, good morning. This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, coming to you this morning with another message from God's Word, another study on God's Word. And we're studying now the grace of God. We've been there for a few studies, and we're going to continue there this morning. We're looking at God's riches in Christ.
At this time, I'd like to play one of our choir songs for you. Would you just listen? Let's listen together.
Yes, God's riches in Christ. What a joyous time it is to read and study God's Word. In our last study, we were looking at the unsearchable riches of God's grace. But today, we want to look at just the riches, God's riches in Christ. Now, let's look at some of the positions of the relationship of the believer enters into the moment he believes in Christ. Yes, that constitutes the true riches of God's grace in Christ. These positions of relationship the believer does not know until after he's saved and begins to search God's Word. Then when they begin to dawn upon him, he begins to discover the gold and the diamond mines of God's grace that he's been admitted into and permitted to enjoy. This is brought about by the grace of God and not by the sinner's own choosing or anything the sinner may have or has ever done. No. Let's notice the believer in the eternal plan of God. Let's take that for our study this morning to start with. The believer in the eternal plan of God. From eternity, God has foreknown the believer, you and me, if you know the Lord. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." God foreknows every believer, my friend, and thinks of that believer only as being conformed to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:2 says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ." Yes, God saw from the very beginning everyone whom he is going to save. God knows the end from the beginning. We have an erroneous doctrine that's going across the land today that God looked down and saw those who would believe and then he elected those. No, my friend, that's not the doctrine of election. God saw from the very beginning everyone whom he would save has nothing to do with the individual. God knows from the end, from the beginning. By the riches of his grace, God elected his children in Christ. Election is entirely based upon grace and not upon the merit of the individual. No, God saw and God sees nothing in those who are going to be saved that would cause him to choose for his children and for salvation in Christ. He never looked down and saw that you would believe or you would do this or you would do that. No, only all he saw was sin. In 1 Thessalonians 1:4, he says, the apostle says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." Here is where honest thinking people go wrong on the doctrine of election. They say that God's election is based upon his foreknowledge. They teach that God, looking down through the ages, saw the end from the beginning, which is correct. But they further teach that he saw those who would believe, just as we said just a minute ago. They say that he saw those who would believe and then elected them on the basis of his foreknowledge, on the basis that he knew they would believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if that were so, then election would not be according to grace, but according to works. Would you just let that soak in, my friend? There would be no grace there. Paul in Romans 9:10 tells us, "And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done anything good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. That's right, my friend. That's exactly right. We see from God's word that election was not based on any type of works, the repentance or belief of any individual, but wholly and completely upon the grace of God. Because those whom God foreknow, knew, and elected are no different from those he did not choose to save. Now let's keep that straight, because herein is the greatest of the riches of God's grace. God chose us to salvation, yet saw nothing within us but sin. Now, my friend, that's a gracious thought. But he said, here is an object of grace. In and through him, I'm going to demonstrate what my grace can do. When God gets through with an individual by his grace, Romans 8:33 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Titus 1:1 says, according to the faith of God's elect. Listen, my friend, that's right. We're going back over some of these gracious truths this morning and reiterating what we brought out in our last study. I know that. But listen, we see in Matthew 22:14, many are called, but few are chosen. We here use the word chosen as a manifestation of election. We don't know whom God has elected until we see men and women chosen from the masses of humanity for salvation in Christ. Listen now, that's true, my friend. Oh, listen, this brings us to the conclusion. No sinner ever deserves to be saved. No one would ever be saved if God didn't elect him. That's an outstanding feature of my thinking, my friend, my meditating, that no sinner would come. In my preaching, in my pastoring here, I know that God has to call everyone and open that heart. Listen, I can't call you. I can't awaken you. I can't save you. No one can. Listen, no one would ever be saved if God never elected him and chose him and called him. Do you see what the relationship of every saved person has to the Lord God of heaven even before you save? This is one of the riches of God's grace untold. Listen, that's right. Knowing what I know about the total depravity of heart and the stubbornness of the wickedness of the will and the hatred of man, I thank God every day for the riches in his grace, the riches of God's grace. But as we continue our study, we want to look now at the riches of God's grace as it's expressed. How does God express his grace? As we continue, let's turn to Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. When we think of the riches of God's grace in Christ in salvation, we think of those things which are done for the individual at the moment he is saved. But there are many things that God does for the individual the moment he's saved, and that individual is not conscious of, does not know, until he begins to read and to study God's word and the Holy Spirit enlightens his heart. The riches of God's grace in Christ also includes the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of the unsaved individual. I know in bringing God's message here, oftentimes I speak about the gift of God. Did you know the Holy Spirit is a gift of God? Did you know the calling of God is a gift of God? Did you know that the redemption work of God is a gift of God? How much we have to praise the Lord for, my friend? In other words, Holy Spirit conviction is one of the great riches of God's word. That's right, of God's grace. You see, according to Ephesians 1:7, God does according to his good pleasure. Then the only thing God would have to do for an individual to go to hell is to leave that individual alone. Now, we make that statement often here because it's a great truth. No individual can come to Christ apart from Holy Spirit conviction. You say, oh, Pastor, I thought that making a decision, no. No, I know that the world today is living on that error there that's sweeping the country, Arminianism, mental decision, easy believingism, all of this emotionalism where they have a high-powered, high-rolling preacher come through, evangelist, and, and they have all of this music now in our churches. It's abomination to the Lord. They work up a crowd like you would work up a crowd before a wrestling match, my friend. And then at the right time, at the proper time, that preacher pulls a string and draws those folks up to the front to make a decision for Jesus. That's not salvation, my friend. That doesn't even smell like salvation. Do you know what the word salvation means? It means a deliverance. A deliverance from what? Sin. Every individual outside of Christ is a sinner. Outside of the grace of God, he's a lost sinner. And only the Lord can deliver him. That's not a decision. You make hundreds of decisions before you come to Christ, my friend. That's exactly right. Just like one of our faithful old friends up a few hundred miles from here, her family was all, they were under the sound of this ministry, and one of her daughters kind of left out home and went to the modern church, and she come back home, said, "Mother, I joined First Baptist Church of so-and-so." And the lady told her, said, "Well, honey, that's all right." Said, "I joined everything before the Lord saved me. But after the Lord saved me, I knew where I belonged to sit and listen to the truth." That's right. My friend, you can join everything and anything. You can join the church and join the society and join this and the WMS and all of those things. That doesn't help you. Christ is our salvation, knowing the Lord. And listen, no heart, no individual can come apart from the Holy Spirit conviction. You say, "Well, Pastor, what is Holy Spirit conviction? I hear you speak of that. I want to know." It's this, my friend. It's this. I started to say simply, but it's not simply. It's a sublime. It's divine. It's when the Holy Spirit of God, who is a third person of the triune God, equal with the Lord, equal with God, when the Holy Spirit, under the direction of God, comes to your heart, begins to probe your heart, begins to shine the light. It's a mysterious work. Listen, when he begins to question, put that question in your heart, "Am I saved?" How does that work? Through the preaching of the gospel, through the reading of God's word. Some passage of scripture the Lord will illuminate into your heart. Some preached message the Lord will take home to your heart. And you will go home, go out of the auditorium with a barbed arrow plunged into your heart. Say, "I just don't know if that preacher knows what he's talking about. If what he says is so, I'm lost." Well, my friend, most of the time, unless you're rooted and grounded in the Lord, you are lost. But the Holy Spirit does that work. I can't open your heart. Folks have accused us here of stirring up their family, stirring their man's wife up, stirring their children up. No, we can't do that. Did you know they told Apostle Paul that his preaching was unwholesome? That's what they say about us here at the old Trailblazer broadcast. But listen, we're doing what the Lord wants us to do. We're just going down the line, bringing you "Thus saith the word," the Lord, day by day, bringing you God's word. He tells me to preach the word, be instant in season. My heart goes out to you, my friend. I'm not critical of you. I love you. I love every individual whom the Lord has laid on my heart. And he's given me the burden to preach the gospel to every creature, my friend, not to compromise, to take a stand on the side of truth. Did you know we need some preachers to stand up and take a stand for what's right, my friend? I'm not talking about going out and fighting the political battles and fighting the abortion battles. I'm talking about preaching the gospel. Oh, my friend, let's leave all that to the politicians and to those others. But let's, you and me, preacher, preach the gospel. Our folks are dying and going to hell. Did you know that? Our folks are dying, going out into eternity, lost day by day. Well, my friend, this is the old Trailblazer. I wish you'd pray for me. Would you sit down and write me a letter and tell me you're praying for me? Help me with the broadcast if you can. Remember, our mailing address is Radio Missions,
Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785.
And this is the old Trailblazer, Pastor Albert Pendarvis, coming to you once again in these early morning hours, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And we're praying for you out there. Would you pray for us? Write us and let us hear from you. Goodbye, and God bless you.